your presence here today, Lord Jesus. We honor your Holy Spirit today. But most of all, Lord Jesus, we honor you and what you did for us on the cross. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, singers. That was beautiful. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but await for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, they beheld he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of ye shall receive power. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege today once again of opening your word to preach it. And Lord, I know there will be a futile effort without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, on the minds of the hearers and upon me. And Lord, I ask you today that you would give us a revelation, Lord Jesus, into the glory that we possess by having the privilege of being baptized in the precious Holy Spirit of God. Lord, a privilege you provided by giving your life on the cross of Calvary, making it possible that via your shed blood, we could be filled to overflowing with the awesome Holy Spirit of the living God. Lord Jesus, I pray today that you'll take our faith to a new level in trusting in the power that dwells within us as heirs of salvation. We'll not fail to give you, Lord Jesus, all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The great book of the prophet Zechariah boldly proclaims how God's work gets done in us and in this earth. He says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. The work of the Holy Spirit in this world and in our lives is the power of God. And when you look back through history, biblical history, you see that only in the Old Testament the Holy Spirit was given to precious few individuals. Really, when you survey the entirety of the Old Testament, very few men and women received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was only given in the Old Testament for very special missions and very special purposes, to empower people to act and speak for God. And when you survey how precious few receive this wondrous infilling of the Holy Spirit, it should make us very, very enthralled today to know that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, that you and I can be baptized and filled with the same Spirit that God used to speak the worlds into existence. That in Genesis 1, when he began to restore a fallen universe, the first thing the Word of God tells us is that the Spirit moved upon all of that chaos. Praise God. Praise God. That's a picture of us before we met Jesus. Our lives were nothing but a swirling, dark, chaotic mass. But he came and he saved us. And instantly, the Spirit of God began to move on us to restore and to set things right again. And what thrills my heart today is that he doesn't quit. Hallelujah. From the day he began working on us up to this very second in time, it's going to be a continual work in process. The Holy Spirit is continually going to be moving on us to shape us and mold us into the character of Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit is the only power that God Almighty recognizes in this universe. He doesn't recognize political power. He doesn't recognize military power. He doesn't recognize the will of man. He will only recognize the precious power of his Holy Spirit. Yesterday, I was privileged at my nephew's graduation to speak with a family that I used to, one of the finest families the Lord's ever sent into my life. I had the pastor privilege of pastoring them when I was at Mount Vernon. Godly family, fully received the message of the cross. When I got it and it opened up to me and I began to preach it, they were one of the leading families in the church, and they gloriously received it and followed it to this day. But one of their sons, who is probably one of the most intelligent young men I've ever had the privilege of meeting, he went off to college, and he began to step away little by little from the cross of Christ. Not that he went into rebellious sin, but he began to believe that psychology could help man out. And he sought his degree, a college degree in what was called Christian counseling, which is little more than psychology. And about 2 years back, he nearly lost his mind. He nearly lost his mind. They found him trying to commit suicide. They stopped him before it was too late. There is such a danger, and I'm not sure if any of us fully grasp it. There is such a danger in placing our faith in something other than the cross of Christ. It opens us up to such spiritual declension that I don't believe none of us can fully get our minds around how scary it is to place your faith and how dangerous it is to place your faith in something other than the cross of Christ. But this young man, I prayed for him. I'd heard about his predicament and loving his mother and father and their family. I was quite surprised even to hear that the father had allowed him to and would support him in going into such a thing as Christian psychological counseling. But again, to reiterate my point, that's the danger of placing your faith in something other than the cross. And there is a danger in placing yourself under someone who's not preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. You will be affected by who you set under for your spiritual food. And I don't want to be negative or beleaguer this point, but a gentleman who followed me at Mount Vernon, who I thought would continue on with the message of the cross that had been established, did not do it. He wanted to grow a church. He adapted the strategies of the denomination of Rick Warren and Joel Osteen and all the others with their church growth programs. That's what this family began to set under after I left. And you see the danger in that. And that they, who at one time were so firmly established on the rock of the gospel, Christ and him crucified, encouraged this boy to go off into Christian psychology. It nearly killed him. And thank God he's somewhat back together now. But yesterday was one of those times, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, where the Holy Spirit engineers it to set somebody in your path. And I saw them. They came to Jordan's party, and we hugged one another. So glad to see each other. And I had no intent at all. I'd shared with you last week, I believe, about how I didn't want to be bothered at my son's baseball game because I wanted to watch him play ball. I didn't want to hear no preaching or nothing. But if it's God leading it, that's okay. If it's just somebody wanting to push their ego on you, that's a different story. But we sat down and began to talk, and I was loving on him. I was just glad to see him again. I had no intention of getting into preaching or anything like that. Honestly, I didn't. I was just enjoying the good cake and fresh fruit and Texas barbecue that Roger had in pounds upon pounds. But after a few moments, we said, I'm going to talk. And the young man, he said, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, well, sure. And he said, I'm struggling. And just instantly, I felt the Holy Ghost fall on me. And I said, well, what is it? He said, I haven't felt for years like I'm good enough anymore for God. He said, and most of you are going to understand fully what he told me. He said, I read my Bible as much as I can every day. This was the young man who attempted suicide about approximately 2 years ago. He said, I read my Bible every day. And I'm praying. I'm seeking the Lord. But he said, I don't feel like I'm good enough for him. Do you see the danger? We can't hear this message of the cross enough. As humans, we're so quick to fall away from it. If we're not sitting under it, if we're not hearing it. That's why in my own mind, I think back to the buffoons who tell me I need more than the cross. My Lord, what an affront to the power of God. What an affront to Jehovah God to say you need more than the cross. But he said, I don't feel good enough. No matter what I do, he said, in my soul and spirit. And I instantly identified what was wrong. But he hadn't heard it for a long time. I said, brother, and I'm shading this, so I doubt any of y'all ever run into this family, but just in case you would for some reason, I'm not telling this to embarrass him. I'm telling this to show the power of God. I told him, I said, Nick, you're right. I said, you're not good enough for God. I said, the reason you're feeling that is because you're not good enough for God. And man, his eyeballs about fell out on his cheeks. That wasn't what he expected to hear, because he was only there at Mount Vernon about the last 6 months before he went off to college. When I came in with the message of the cross, he didn't sit under my entire teaching of Romans that next year. And when I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, ingrained that whole church like this one in the message of the cross. And I said, you're not good enough. He says, well, I'm doing everything I know to do. And I said, Nick, there's your problem. I said, your faith is in the wrong place, my brother. I said, you're trusting in your human performance to provide you with the righteousness of God. And I said, you can read your Bible all day long. You can pray 10 hours a day. And you can attend church every time the doors are open. And you can be miserably saved. And he'd never heard that term before. And it hit him. It hit him because he has been. He's been right there. He's been miserably saved. And I told him, I said, Nick, I said, Jesus provides our righteousness. I said, none of those things will make us right before God. I said, they're good to do. I said, they're wonderful things to do. But I said, only the shed blood of Jesus Christ and our faith in that is what makes us right before God. I said, Nick, we couldn't keep the Ten Commandments if we had to. And man, I saw it. I saw his eyes light up like a Christmas tree in downtown Springfield. And I said, it's in the cross, Nick. It's in the cross. And then I told him, I thought, I'm off to the races now. I'm not going to let up on him now. I said, Nick, you have your degree in psychology and in Christian counseling. I said, the problem is sin. You cannot counsel sin away. And I said, you, even as a believer, if your faith is in the wrong place, your sin nature will dominate you and make you feel dirty and unholy before God, because your faith isn't what you're doing. But I said, put and keep your faith exclusively in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that will provide all the righteousness, all the holiness, and then you will find there will be a satisfaction in your soul that you know that Jesus is your righteousness, not what you do. My Lord, tears begin to roll down his cheeks. Big tears. And he said, oh my, I see what you're talking about. And I prayed with him there. And you literally felt the delivering power of the Holy Ghost fall upon this young man. And he, give God a hand of praise. Give God a hand of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like the old Church of God song says, I never shall forget the day that all the burdens of my sin were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll shout it because he's everything to me. Hallelujah. And before leaving, he hugged my neck and he said, you've helped me so much. And I told him, I said, Nick, I said, what I'm about to tell you, brother, I hope I don't make you mad. But I said, there's no help in counseling unless that counseling leads that person to the foot of the cross. I said, it may provide some intellectual help. But I said, if you're not leading them to the foot of the cross, I said, that's where you need to stay. And he told me, he said, I'm going to, Pastor Greg. He said, thank you. You've helped me so much today. I said, I ain't done nothing, Nick. I said, it's just like I tell our people at our church, all that happened today, there was one starving man telling another starving man where there's a guy giving out free sandwiches. I said, I've led you to the cross. Jesus, keep your faith in him. Hallelujah. That's Holy Ghost power there. That's Holy Ghost power. That's what Jesus Christ died to give us. That's what this book in Acts chapter 1 promises us. These words of Jesus that we find in Acts chapter 1 are the last words that he would ever speak physically on earth until he returns again. And he told his disciples, the last thing he told was, you go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Because Jesus knew that because of his shed blood and his sacrifice on the cross, that soon and very soon this precious Holy Ghost power was going to be poured out upon all humanity without measure. In fulfillment of the great prophecy in Joel when he says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This Sunday today is what's called Pentecost Sunday, this very day. Pentecost means 50th. The Feast of Pentecost occurred exactly 50 days after the Feast of Passover. And now 50 days after the death of Jesus Christ, these disciples are gathered together, we read in Acts chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit of God, hallelujah, makes his glorious entrance into this world, never to leave again. Hallelujah. Church, you have the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside of you. There's no match for anything in this world to the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. He'll change human hearts. He'll change lives. He'll deliver. He'll empower. My Lord, the church needs to return to the cross of Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost again. Our strength lies not in our big buildings and our brilliant oratory. The strength of the Church of Jesus Christ lies in the power of the Holy Ghost, which can only flow when faith is exhibited in the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus had been seen alive above 500 people, the Bible tells us. Think of that. His post-resurrection ministry. He'd been seen alive by above 500 people for 40 or more days. The word tells us that he taught about things pertaining to the kingdom of God to the disciples. And he tells them to go and seek for this power of God. They didn't grasp what he was telling them. You know, as I look at this story we read in Acts 1 and study it, I see in my own life how like the disciples I am. Here Jesus has just told them, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said that at the closing of the book of Luke, which corresponds to Acts chapter 1 here. Go, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And what's the first question they come back and ask him? Lord, Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They wanted positions of power. They've just been promised the infilling of the precious Holy Spirit without measure, which in the Old Testament was one of the most supreme thing that could happen to a human being. And Jesus has just promised them, I'm going to give you all this. It's going to fulfill Joel 2. I know the Bible doesn't tell us this, but give me a little latitude here. I have no doubt in my mind in the 40 days that Jesus taught them, he run them through the Old Testament prophecies about the Holy Ghost. Telling them, this wasn't the first time, I know it couldn't have been. I just know. If you study how Jesus always taught them, you'd have to know. He took them to Joel and said, my spirit's going to come upon you guys without measure. Not just for special purposes anymore, for special people to do work for God. Anybody who has their faith in my shed blood, if they ask me to baptize them in the precious Holy Spirit, I'll do it. I'll give them the spirit without measure. Think of that. And he tells them one last time here, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with this power. Oh, that the church would return to that. Because we seek man-made power today, by and large. We seek what man can do. And I don't want what man can do, because man can't do nothing, really. Really, he can't. The only good that will ever be accomplished in this world that's going to be lasting and good is going to come via this power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the church must stop trusting in what human intellect can do, in what political power can do, military might, whatever, what the world can do for the church. The world can't do nothing for the church. I don't know why most churches go chasing after that world, because it really can't do nothing for them. Oh, it may provide a certain amount of accolades. It may provide a certain amount of popularity, but it will not produce the power of God. And that's what I'm after. That's what I want in my life, because I know only his power will change me. I know only his power will deliver me. I know only through Holy Ghost power can he move mountains, and he will do it to help you out. My Lord, I feel the Holy Spirit hitting on me to press down on that one this morning. Whatever you might be facing this morning, whatever the enemy might have been telling you is going to take you down, it is no match for the power of the Holy Ghost. Do not forget that. It is no match for the power of the Holy Ghost. And your God will not forsake you. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise. But these disciples, after Jesus had taught them, no doubt on numerous occasions, what this day of Pentecost was going to entail. It shouldn't have been a surprise to them. But I see it again. We're just like them, ain't we? Lord, tell us time and time and time again, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to be there for you. And we sat wondering and worrying, is he really going to do it? Is he really going to do it? Even though he's told us time and time and time again. And has he ever failed us? Never, not one time. Hallelujah. These guys, here they are. He's about to ascend into heaven before their very eyes. He tells them, you're going to be endued with power from on high. You shall receive power when that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's his response to their question. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? In other words, they missed it altogether. Jesus is going to one day restore Jerusalem and the nation of Israel to the leading nation of this earth. It's going to happen. And these 12 disciples, along with the 12 Old Testament patriarchs we read in the book of Revelation, they're going to sit on thrones over there, judging the entire world through Jesus Christ, the Son of David, who will sit on the throne of David. It's going to happen. That promise of fulfillment of them, of Israel being the leading nation on earth, it's going to happen, without a doubt. But it wasn't at this point in time. That's why he told them, it's not for you to know the times nor the seasons that the Father's put his power. In other words, quit worrying about it. Just know it's going to happen. But they wanted it to happen right then. Oh, ain't they like us? They thought, this is it, man. We've hung with this guy. And I'm sure in their minds, being prideful like we all are, they thought, we have earned this. We have been through thick and thin with Jesus. You know, even though they hadn't. They all run and hid except for John. He's the only one of them that hung around at all when the trouble really broke for the Lord Jesus. But I'm sure narrow minds are thinking, man, we deserve this. We earn this. When are we going to get? You see, well, I'm stumbling to say it. They had their minds were carnal. They thought that Jesus was promising them worldly power. That's what they were looking for. They thought, oh, yes, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? You see, even these disciples, it's hard for God to get through to us as humans, ain't it? We're a hard, hard study, man. We really are. Thank God for his grace and patience with us. Where would we be without it? But these guys, they're concerned about worldly power. Even after Jesus has taught them, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, the power that spoke this world into being and restored it. God used that power to set the planets in motion. And then when Satan fell from heaven, he used that same power to set everything back in order. And you're going to be filled with this power. And what's their concern? Governmental power. We touched on it last week. They're concerned about politics. They're concerned about politics. We want to be the leaders. And the Lord gives them an answer that I know at the time must had to stymie them. He said, it's not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father has put his power. In other words, what was he telling them? Guys, you're going to get your rulership. But here's something we need to know as humans. And this was in essence what Jesus was telling them. What God promises and when God gives it are two different things altogether. I want that to sink in. What God promises and when he gives it are two different things altogether. This is where word of faith theology goes so awry. God has never promised we're going to have perfect health in this life. He's never promised we're all going to be wealthy in this life. But he has promised there's coming a day when these bodies aren't going to wear out and grow old anymore. There's coming a day we're going to walk on streets of gold. Hallelujah. We must know as they knew. Or we must have our minds renewed to not think like they thought. Thinking that seeking after worldly power is where it's at. After Jesus is extending the greatest gift that humanity outside of salvation could ever have. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. He tells them that it's not for you to know the times or the seasons in which the Father has put his power. In other words, boys, quit worrying about ruling the world. It's going to happen. You're going to sit alongside of me. You're going to rule and reign with me. But not right now. But that's why he had to tell them one last time. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's telling them, guys, what I'm going to give you is so much greater than what you think you want right now. Man, aren't you glad for God's patience with us when we're praying or seeking him for something? This is for somebody today. You've thought you've needed a certain thing you've been seeking God about. But the message of the Holy Spirit to you today is God wants to give you something far greater. And God's going to solve that situation for you using a means far greater than what you thought and how it ought to happen. That's why I believe he had me preach this message today. His response to them was, you're going to receive power. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses unto me. In other words, he was telling them, what I'm going to give you is far greater than what you think you want. And I'm even going to give you that one day. Woo, isn't that good? I'm even going to let you rule and reign with me one day. But right now, I've got something far, far greater for you that you need to help you through the here and now. Because I'm going to be taking care of you personally in the there and then. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Never forget the power that is in you as a child of Almighty God. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive power, glory to God. Isn't that enthralling? You got to clap and shout over that. It thrills your soul. And now he begins to ascend into heaven after telling them this. And the angels give them the greatest promise. You see, Jesus knew what they needed then. He knows what we need right now to help us get through this life. I want to say that our place in heaven is assured. Well, as you sit here this morning, if your faith is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, Your place in heaven, your mansion is assured, your rulership is assured. It's going to happen. But right now, and as we see this world going the direction it's in, we need Holy Ghost power more than we've ever needed it before. That's the greatest thing God can give us. Because it's through that power that we get revelation into so much of the foolishness that's being taught in the church. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit we're strengthened and upheld when we have leaders for madmen declaring homosexual relationships to be putting their approval upon homosexual relationships. The President of the United States. Did you even think even 10 years ago you would ever hear such a thing? We all thought old Bill Clinton was bad when he came up with his own definition of what a relationship between a man and a woman ought to be. Remember that? We thought that was terrible. Did you ever think you'd hear the President of the United States say that homosexual relationships have his approval? We need Holy Ghost power. More than we need anything else, we need Holy Ghost power. Because that power keeps us anchored in Christ. Though Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, He will speak of me. I've said this before. This will help you again, though it's worth saying again. That's how you can tell if somebody, a preacher, teacher is anointed. Are they speaking of Jesus Christ? Or are they speaking of their great faith, their great ministry, their great number of followers, and how many they've won to the Lord? Ain't nobody won anybody to the Lord. Only the Holy Ghost can win people to the Lord. Man can't do that. And if the Holy Ghost didn't empower and give man the words to speak, nobody'd ever get saved. We can't be proud and I've won thousands to the Lord. You ain't won nobody. You ain't won nobody. The Holy Ghost did it. Jesus Christ did it through the power of the Holy Ghost. God help us to return to faith. And see, we're all so full of human pride. Oh, my Lord, help us all. God, the blood of Jesus, when I look at my own life, I've become convinced of how powerful the blood of Jesus is. Because I'm such a mess, I couldn't stand me for more than 30 seconds if I was God, if that long. Because of all the pride, all the junk that's there. How powerful the blood of Jesus. That through that blood, God still treats us like none of that pride's there. Hallelujah. Oh, give Him a hand of praise. Holy Ghost power. That power keeps us and our minds right. I'm going to tell you something. Probably ain't going to make nobody shout. We were all insane before we knew God. All sin's insanity. It really is. It causes us to think so crooked and so backward. When we're without Christ, we're insane. You ever wonder why people do so much stupid stuff? They're insane. It don't have to be in a straight jacket wrapped up, taking 20 pills a day for you to be declared insane. There's a lot of insane people walking the streets of Springfield and Dayton this morning. Some of them driving Cadillacs and living in the fanciest homes in town. They're a mess. They're insane. That's why we need Holy Ghost power. Because when we get saved, the Holy Ghost begins to restore that sanity and begins to set our minds right. We need Him for everything. That's why Jesus was telling them, this cannot be overstated, that you recognize the power of the Holy Spirit. We all do in our lives. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then He begins to rise from the earth after saying these words. And two angels appear. And they tell the disciples. And I know they didn't get it. You can tell by their response. The angels told them, this same Jesus whom you see going up. I love that phrase. I've always loved it. The same Jesus. The same Jesus. Not some metaphysical Jesus. The same one that raised the dead. The same one that hung on Calvary's cross. The same one that walked out of the tomb. The same one you saw ascend unto God. The same one. He's coming back. Right there, it should have clicked with him right there. Okay, we get it now. We need His power for now, but there's coming a day when He's going to come back. And then He's going to establish this kingdom that we want to rule and reign in. And we'll have it then, glory to God. Keep looking forward, church. Keep looking forward. Know that the promises of God in your life, every single one of them are going to be fulfilled one day. One day they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. You know, the Word of Faith teachers are right on one thing. We're all going to be totally healthy one day. One day. One day, we're all going to have wealth beyond our wildest dreams. Hallelujah. But even beyond all that, one day, we're going to dwell eternally with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But in the here and now, we need Holy Ghost power. We need Holy Ghost power. That's why every believer needs to seek and continue on in the mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know, it's so much more than speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is wonderful. It's a great gift from God. It's a prayer language you're given. Speaking in tongues re-energizes the believer's spirit. It's like a battery recharger. You know, that old Lincoln of ours, it's been a great car, man. I put over 130-some thousand miles on that car now. Well, not me, Tara. But but anyway, last year, you know, the battery on that thing wore out. And it ultimately needed a new battery, but at first we thought it needed a jump. So I bought one of those little handheld things. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, to have you charge it in the house and just take it out to your car without having to use jumper cables. I got one on sale at Pep Boys for like $9.99 or something. And that battery, it had run down. It needed a charge. It needed a power source greater than what it had exhausted all of its power. And I hooked that thing up to it, and vroom, that car turned right over. The power of the Holy Spirit to the believer operates the same way. The Holy Spirit's inexhaustible. But sometimes we as humans, I'm going to hit us where we live as I start to close. Don't worry, you're not going to have to sit under much more. But this one's going to be tough. As we live for God, even those of us that know the message of the cross, we don't always consciously keep our faith there, do we? That shows you how bad we need the cross preached. You could sit in this church and forget about it. At some point in time, I do it. The Holy Spirit will have to grab me and pull me back. And I'll have to go to Him and say, Lord, Your Spirit's inexhaustible. But I foolishly been looking in the wrong places. I need a charge. I need a charge. And He says, my son, I'll give it. And He hooks me back up to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit again. Wow. And how good it feels, amen? How good it feels when the Holy Spirit re-energizes and recharges us. That's to help get us through this life. I'm going to tell you something. I hope you understand what I'm saying as I close. In heaven, here's where a lot of people miss what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 8. We won't need gifts of the Spirit because the Holy Spirit will be our lifeblood in heaven. In a glorified body, that if you study your Bible, you'll find there is no blood in a glorified body. There is no blood in a glorified body. Now the life of flesh is in the blood. That's why Jesus had to shed His blood on the cross. Up there, there will be no blood flowing through a glorified body. What will be the life source of it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in heaven flowing through us will be our life source in heaven. That's why we'll never wear out, never grow old, and never have any sin. There'll be no sin nature in a glorified body. Whew! Isn't that something to look forward to? But now, in this message today, with it being Pentecost Sunday, you need to know you need that power in your life every day. And if you've strayed a little bit or forgot just a little bit in some area, maybe you're, of course, I don't believe any of us, I'll shut up after this, I promise. I don't believe any of us ever shift our faith, at least in this church, off of the cross for knowing that's our source of salvation. I really don't believe anybody does that. But as we're living out there in that world, and things get tough and heated, and we face very, very daunting and difficult circumstances, whether they be familial, financial, on the job, whatever. Sometimes, and I feel good when it happens, I immediately go to the cross. And boy, those times feel sweet, don't they? It's like, Lord, I'm learning a little bit. You're taking me a little bit farther along. And those times happen more often now than they ever did. But, I'm not here to aggrandize myself. There's still a significant amount of other times when my first response is a fleshly response rather than a spiritual response. And when that happens, it drains us of spiritual power, because all of a sudden, we've just switched from Holy Ghost power to human power when we're operating in the flesh. And let me tell you something, human power dissipates very, very quickly. It don't take long at all. And that's when we're feeling run down. That's when, and I know God lets it be so. Because if God let us feel good about operating in the flesh, we'd never come back and say, Lord, we've forsaken the power of the Holy Ghost. Empower us afresh and anew with the Spirit of God from on high. We need it now. We need the Holy Ghost power in our lives now. That's why Jesus told them, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not to rule in this world, guys. Jesus wasn't even concerned about their rulership in this world. He was telling them, that's coming one day. You're going to have that. It's safe and secure. But you still got to live out your life down here, folks. You need Holy Ghost power to do that for the Lord. And in any area of your life this morning, if you feel drained in that area, I ask you to place yourself under the surveillance of the Holy Spirit and place yourself, do some self-examination. In that area, have you been trusting in God's power, or have you been responding in the flesh? And that's probably the reason you're feeling drained of strength and power in that particular area. Ye shall receive power. The Lord wants you to know, as I close this message today, He will give it to you for the asking. He's a God of grace. He's let you feel the drain because He wants you to turn fully to Him with whatever it is that's been draining you, and He'll give you power. Would you give Him a hand of praise today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you stand, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel His power coursing through this building today. I'm going to ask everyone who would you come and present yourselves at the altar of God today? Lord, as they're coming, let the Holy Ghost fall on this altar. Let the river of life flow freely around this altar, and let us become tributaries in our souls and spirits of that water of life. I ask today in the name of Jesus, Lord, for everyone in whatever area they need it, as we present ourselves to you around your altar today, Lord Jesus, fill us to overflowing afresh and anew with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, you're down here this morning, and the Lord told me how to do this altar service today. Where are you drained spiritually this morning? Where are you drained spiritually? Examine your faith this morning. In that area, or there might be several. And let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit just prodded me on this. Where there's a drain in one area, it's going to drain you in other areas. It will. It will. That's the danger of having a spiritual drain there, because it will take the life from the other areas that your faith is solid in. And you'll need a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Lord told me that His people needed today, a refreshing empowerment of His Spirit. Take that place and examine it, where the spiritual drain has been. And you're probably going to find, I've been responding in my flesh. I've been trying to solve this through human means, through my power, through my wisdom. And it just ain't been working for me, and it's drained me. The Lord brought you to this moment not to be mean to you, but to give you power. To cause us all to know only His power can get us through the situations of this life. We can't respond in our flesh and expect to have Holy Ghost power working with us. Because if God aided and abetted a fleshly work in any capacity, it would be an affront to what Jesus did on the cross. It would be a nullification of Holy Ghost power. It would be, in essence, saying we really don't need him. We really don't need the Holy Ghost to solve this. We can do it on our own. Jesus was so true when he said, told the disciples in John 14, outside of me, you can do nothing. He told us to abide in the vine. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Think of that. Praise God. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Praise God. Praise God. Abide in him today. Abide in him. Somebody want to turn that off, whosoever it is. That's, you can go do that. Abide in him. Abide in him. But in that area where the drain is, ask him, first of all, repent of trying to do it yourself. We're all guilty of that. God knows I am. I'm not talking down to nobody. But today, this has been merely a reminder, I believe, from the Lord to take us to the source of our power. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and ask him to give you Holy Ghost power to overcome that situation now as we pray. Let's go to him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so fleshly, we're so carnal, we're so prideful, Lord. Thank you for the continuous grace and mercy that is afforded us through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But Lord, also afforded us through faith in that precious shed blood of Jesus Christ is the great promise that we can be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, in the areas of our life that have been a drain spiritually, Lord, in the areas of our life that have us daunted, that have us confused, that Lord, for us, trying through human effort, it has produced no good at all. We repent of that, Lord, and we come to you now. And oh, I sense the power flowing around this altar today. Lord Jesus, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall afresh and anew on us, your children. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, we turn to the power that will help us through this life. Your Holy Ghost power, Lord. The only strength that you recognize. Forgive us for trying to use human effort, Lord. We turn to our true power source today. We turn to the one and only power source that is available to us as Holy Ghost believers. And now I ask you, open up your heart to him. Open up your heart to him. He's pouring out right now. Lord, I thank you that you're pouring Holy Ghost power and you're recharging and renewing right now as we stand in your presence. I know it, Lord. I sense it. I sense it in my own being, Lord. I thank you for it. That, Lord, we're going to walk out of here revived, refreshed, and we're going to walk out of here with our faith right. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, thank you for giving it today. Thank you for giving the sweet, anointed presence of the Holy Spirit into the areas of our lives, Lord, that have been a drain to us, that we've tried to operate in human flesh to solve. And it's drained us. But Lord, today, I know it. You've restored all of us. You've re-energized all of us. And you've turned us to trust and the only power that can help us. Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has afforded us such great privilege and made it possible for such great power to flow in our hearts and our lives. Oh Lord, never let us get our minds on how much we need your Holy Spirit now. There's coming a day he'll be our total life source in heaven. And Lord, we'll have every promise of God that you gave to us. But we have to live through this life. And we'll never make it except we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, we give Jesus Christ all praise, honor, and glory for the mighty work of the Holy Spirit that I know has been so operative and full in all of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give Jesus a hand of praise today. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Man, it's been good to be in God's house today with you. Have a great rest of your Memorial Day weekend. Try to stay cool out there. Drink lots of fluids or get near a pool. I know that's what I'm going to do here in just a little bit. But thank you all for being in God's house today. Dennis, would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning? And have a great rest of your Memorial Day weekend. Probably a lot of you have cookouts planned with family and friends, and just enjoy yourself. And I don't even know this guy anymore. Who's